Let's turn to the Word of God. Again, please, Matthew's Gospel, three very short readings in Matthew's Gospel. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry. Just listen as carefully as you can. Pay attention. It's good to see everyone who's here. It's good to see all those who have come. You can tell that I'm the Irish one. And my brother Brian, he's the American one. And we're preaching to Canadians. And if you want to get even more confused, I was born in Ireland. My passport says I'm British. And three quarters of my family history is Scottish. So you can be a real mixture if you come from Ireland. So if you don't understand what I'm saying, well, then tell me at the door. I can't really help my accent. I can't do an awful lot about it. But just try and listen twice as well with both ears. And we'll try and see what we can get over together about the gospel of the grace of God and salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse number 21. This is the angel speaking to Mary. He shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, which means Jehovah the Savior, for he shall save his people from their sins. Over to chapter 8. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 23. When Jesus was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch the ship became covered by the waves. But he, Jesus, was asleep, and his disciples came and wakened him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Chapter 9 and verse number 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind and touched the hem or the fringe of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be saved. We know that God does bless thee. Public reading of his word. He shall save, that's a promise and a prophecy. He shall save his people from their sins. The disciples who were in the boat, which against their normal expectation of the weather on the Sea of Galilee, their little fishing boat was swamped. These were men who were professional fishermen. The sea held no terror or no surprise to them. And on this particular occasion, probably demonically energized, because of the person of the Son of God who you've been hearing about, who was sleeping in the boat. And the boat is swamped with water and it's going to sink. And they said, Lord, save us. From our sins? No. Save us from death. And then we read about the lady in our third reading, over there in chapter 9. And the lady had been sick for 12 years. She was actually bleeding to death. Mark tells us she had spent all her money on a great many doctors until she had no money left. I think we understand that in the world we live in today. And she was nothing better but getting worse. What did she say? She said, if I can but touch the fringe of his garment, I shall be saved. Saved from disease. I wonder, dear soul, dear young person, dear older one in the room tonight, if you're not saved, I wonder what kind of salvation you're looking for. I wonder what it is you think that you need saved from. I was visiting a dear friend down in the hospital in Kelowna. I went to see him the very last thing before I left to drive up here. He's got a very grievous disease, and we're hoping and praying that the chemotherapy works. There are many people in the world today, it's been in my family, and they're praying to God. Isn't it amazing how people forget about God until there's problems? Praying to God and saying, we'd like to be saved from a disease. The disciples in the boat, they were praying to him. They didn't really seem to care that he was sleeping. In fact, I think the Lord was sleeping because the disciples weren't communicating with him. And then when they got into a grievous danger, they said, Lord, waken up, we need some help. Save us because we're going to die. But the angel said, the first time we read about this lovely salvation word, the angel said to Mary, his mother, he's going to come into the world, he's going to be born of the Spirit of God, he's going to be the Son of God, come what for, to save from disease, not only, to save from death, not only, he's come to save his people from their sin. That's the most important reason, because disease is just a manifestation of sin. And death is the condemnation of sin. You've heard about Adam and Eve this evening already. How they sinned, and because they sinned and disobeyed, the punishment of death came upon them. So death is a result of sin, and disease is a result of sin. And if we're saved from our sins, it doesn't mean that we won't die, but those of us who are saved tonight, we might not die. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? We sung about it in one of our hymns, didn't we? Because those of us who are saved tonight, we're looking for Jesus to come again and take us to heaven without even dying. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to tell you a little bit just now in these minutes. I'm going to tell you a little bit about how I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my own Savior. I was going to say there's nobody here who's heard that story before, but, well, I can't say that. And that's actually a very encouraging thing, because some friends away down there from Kelowna, they came up here to hear us tonight, and I told the story down there last week. You say, do you often repeat yourself? No, I hope not. But you see, on Wednesday, in the very middle of the week, Wednesday past, on the 22nd of March, 50 years ago, half a century, as a little boy sitting in a gospel meeting, the same age as some of these young people down here, I was saved from my sins. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And this week passed, it was 50 years ago. Last Sunday, I said, well, that was the closest Sunday to the Wednesday, so I'm going to tell them. And tonight, well, it's still just the same distance away from last Wednesday, and so I'm going to tell you tonight. I was born on the 18th of January, 1959. So you can work out my birthday without any problem. It's no mystery. There was a problem on the day that I was born, because my birthday wasn't supposed to be until the month of May. I was born more than 100 days early. That means I wasn't ready to be born. The period of time that I should have spent inside the womb of my mother was only 2/3 past. My body wasn't properly developed. My brain wasn't properly developed. My lungs were not properly developed. So many different parts of my little body was not properly developed. My grandfather said I was small enough to fit inside your hand. I weighed 2 pounds. And I was more than 100 days born early. Back in the 50s in Ireland, in the hospital I was born in, it was an old cottage hospital. I don't know if you know what that means up here. It was somebody had a house, a rich person. They had one more house than they needed. And so when they died, they left a bequest. They said, my nice house beside the lake can become a hospital for people to come to. And they used it as a maternity hospital. No great facilities and no great services. It actually was the GP who went to the hospital with the lady and helped to deliver the baby. And then he went home again. And they had to wrap me up in cooking foil. So they told me. And the nurse wrapped me in a blanket and she put me on her knee and they put me inside an old ambulance with no heating inside it whatsoever. And they rushed as fast as they could 50 kilometers to a proper hospital. And my family just prayed for me. My mother wasn't allowed to see me. You think that's strange nowadays, because the thinking in relation to little children being born, and especially children that are born early and not well, well, the whole thinking's very different. They say it's very important that the mother bonds with the child and the child bonds with the mother. Even the little child doesn't live a long time. It's a person and it's most important what it truly is. But back in those days, they thought very differently. They said, the little child is not viable. It's not really going to live. It's too small. It's too immature. It's too insignificant. It's too sick. And they wouldn't let my mother see me. They took me away. And they wouldn't even let her go to the hospital in the city to see me either. My mother didn't visit me until I was a month old, because they kept thinking I would die. I didn't get home until I was 6 months old. I didn't sit up until I was a year old. I didn't walk until I was 2, so I've been playing catch-up ever since. The first person who ever saw me was my granddaddy. I told them that last week, because my granddaddy was like me a lot, or maybe I'm a lot like him. He was quite impatient, and he wasn't really always too worried about rule-keeping. He said, this is a nonsense, we can't go to see the baby. It's the first grandchild, and he got into his Austin car, and he drove all the way up to Belfast, and he knocked on the door. He said, I want to see my grandson. Oh, they said, he's not going to live. Nobody's seen him. He said, I want to see him. And so they put a big gown on him and a mask on his face, and they took him away down the corridor. He said, the glass in the window was so thick it was as green as the sea. And they said, a nurse came with this little package. He said it didn't even look like a person. In fact, he said it looked like a little white frog. And he said, I looked at that and I said, you know what, maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. I don't have any idea whatsoever how that could live. And even home and told my granny, he said, you know, granny, we'll just have to pray. Because God will take it away. It's not going to live. Well, you know, God was gracious. God answered prayers. You see, I was saved from death. I was no sooner born. Listen to me now, young people and older ones, if you're not saved tonight. I was no sooner born. I wasn't aware. I wasn't sensible. I didn't understand. I didn't have knowledge. And if I'm being honest, I don't remember. I kind of think I do remember because my grandfather told me the story so often. My mummy didn't talk about it when I was young. She never really told me the whole story from her own point of view until just before I came to Canada. And on the 18th of January this year, 2017, my mum and dad took my wife and I out to a restaurant for a meal, and they got a corner table away from the crowd, and they said, we want to talk to you about things we've never talked about before. We want to tell you about all the things that happened. I said, you know, Mum, I probably know most of it because I've heard it from Granda. Well, she said, that's good, but I want you to hear it from me. And they shed some tears and they cried at the table and so did I and so did my wife. It was a very funny dinner. People thought we were sad because we're sitting in a restaurant crying, but we were crying out of happiness. My Granda used to say, he drummed it into me as a child until the Lord took him home at 89. He used to say, David, God spared you for a purpose. You shouldn't be here. You should have died. I was spared from death. At the very moment that I was born, I was spared from dying. I should have lived for a few seconds and then gone into eternity. And let me tell you this, if I wasn't going to hear the gospel and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, far better that I had died an hour after I was born. To grow up and become sensible. To grow up and hear the gospel. To grow up and listen to the word of God. To grow up and have intelligence in your mind. To grow up and understand the claims of the gospel that you have been hearing already. That you're a sinner because of Adam's sin. That Jesus Christ, God's Son, because God loves you so much, he hates your sin, but he loves you. And he sent his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into time and into a human body to die on the cross for sinners. That's how much God loves you. We can't explain it. We just believe it by faith in Jesus Christ. You've heard the most beautiful verse in the whole Bible. For God so loved the world, the whole world, that he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever in this room in Westside and Kamloops tonight believes on the finished work and death of Jesus Christ and his shed blood as a covering for your sin, you know what? You can be saved. Oh, you say, but I'm not dying. I don't have a disease. Well, we don't know. None of us are guaranteed to see tomorrow. But I'll tell you this, every single one of us, we need to be saved from our sins. I was saved from death. Just at the very beginning of my life. My mother told me just a few weeks ago, I knew a little bit about the story, but I was always frightened to ask. I never got all the details. She said, you know, David, you had another brother. Well, I've got a brother called Thomas. I know him. He's a healthy fellow. And I've got a sister called Catherine. I know her. She was born 10 years after me. My mom said, you know, there was another brother. Well, I knew that. But I hadn't heard it from her. I didn't interrupt. She said, you had another brother. His name was George. I said, yeah, I know. She said, he was born in the same month, a year later. He was the same number of days early, a year later. He was the same weight, 2 pounds, a year later. And the difference was, he died after 2 hours. She said, you know, son, God really spared you for a purpose. It's true. Saved from death. And these disciples in the boat, men who were familiar with their circumstances, men like Peter and John, strong fishermen, who thought they could face any human problem, nobody frightened them. And yet such a storm arose, they thought we're going to perish in the lake. And they wakened the Lord Jesus Christ up and they said, Master, save us, because every single one of us were going to perish. Save us from dying. The dear lady in chapter 9, she came in the crowd. What a different story. What a contrast. Sick for a lifetime. degenerating and deteriorating, covering it up when she went shopping. The people down the street and the people in the supermarket, they didn't know that she had a terminal hemorrhaging, bleeding disease within her. Oh, she was able to disguise it to some degree. And she'd been to every single doctor in the land. And she'd spent all her money on private doctors. And she knew that she was going to die. But she knew that Jesus Christ from Nazareth was the only one who could give life. She didn't even want to speak to him. She didn't even want her name to be known. She didn't want anybody else to know. She said, I'll just come through the crowd. Mind you, that's how some sinners get saved, isn't it? Some are like the men in the story in the fishing boat. The Spirit of God so lays hold of them in a gospel meeting that some people cry out. And it would be a wonderful thing if somebody did it. And I'll tell you, those of us who are preaching, we wouldn't care. And it might waken some of you people up who aren't even listening. If a person put their hands up in the meeting and said, stop, mister, I need to be saved now. I'll tell you, that would be a great thing, wouldn't it? This lady didn't do that. No, she got saved the way I did. Just coming quietly. Nobody noticed, not putting her hand up, not making a fuss, not even speaking a word, but speaking within her heart. She didn't say these things out loud. No, but the Spirit of God heard her heart speaking. She said, if I can grasp just the very edge of his garment. The old preachers used to tell me when I was a young fellow that the hem on the garment speaks of a finished work. That's true, doesn't it? You know, when a garment's finished, my old granny, my other granny on the other side, she's long ago in heaven, she used to make clothes. The last thing that she ever made that I knew about was she made a dressing gown for my sister. And you know, she gave it to her on Christmas Day. And I was looking at it as a little boy because my sister was 10 years younger than me. So she must have been 2 or 3. So I must have been 12 or 13. I thought, you know, Granny hasn't finished it. She's left it unfinished. I could see the cut fringe and the pieces of thread at the bottom. And I said, why did Granny make a dressing gown for her granddaughter and not finish it? Well, it was good I said nothing, wasn't it? Because I'd have let people see I was stupid. My granny said, come here, dear. She said, put it on, put your arms in, and do up the little buttons, and stand up straight now, and take off your outside shoes. Let me see you standing there in your socks. Oh, she said, I've got it now. Give me 10 minutes on my sewing machine, and I'll just get the length of the hem just right. I'll go and run the thread round it and finish it, a finished work. I'll tell you this, dear soul, it speaks a picture of the finished work of Calvary. Jesus said, didn't he? Finished. After the darkness. After the suffering, after the shame, after the crucifixion, after the smiting, after the spitting, after the awful separation from his God, at the very last, you know what? He said, finished. And he bowed his head and dismissed his spirit, for the work that God sent him to do was done. And I tell you this, the night that I trusted Christ, I didn't move my hand, but by faith, I took hold of the finished work of Jesus Christ, my Savior, on the cross at Calvary, saved from disease. Oh, you say, well, Dave, it's a good illustration. You were saved from dying when you were born, but, well, you haven't been saved from disease, have you? Well, I have, you know. My dear wife, she was saved from a terrible form of cancer 3 years ago. We prayed for her. She spent 7 months in hospital. God saved her from disease. And you know, 10 or 11 years ago away in Africa, and I'm not going to tell that whole, be a terrible thing to tell on the platform. You know what? I drank a terrible poison by accident. A poison for which there's no cure. A poison for which there's no antidote. A poison that no doctor could have saved me even if he had been there. Every single doctor I've ever seen since, they said, we don't understand why you're alive. I'll tell you this. God saved me from disease. But I'm not going to heaven tonight because God saved me from dying when I was a baby. And I'm not going to heaven tonight because God saved me from melting inside and my organs dissolving from a terrible disease that was my own fault for not asking what was in the bottle. And that's 10 years ago. I'm going to heaven tonight because 50 years ago, somewhere between the two occasions, as a little fellow sitting in a gospel meeting, not very long after my 8th birthday, the birthday on which I was born. That's interesting, isn't it? I was talking to a girl the other day who had a little baby just born like me, and she said, you know, sometimes they talk about his due date, and sometimes they talk about his birth date. And she said, sometimes I nearly get mixed up between the two. Well, I said to her, you know what, Lindsay, the date the baby was born, that's the important one. I said my due date was somewhere about the month of May, but you know what, that's not important now. I was born on the 18th of January, 59. God preserved me and God looked after me. But after 8 years, I found out that I was a sinner, saved from death, saved from disease, but not saved from the danger of going down to hell because of my sin. I was sitting in a gospel meeting just like this. I wasn't listening to the preacher. That gives me great comfort. Because sometimes you come to a gospel meeting and some people listen and some don't. And some people stay awake and some sleep. And it would be a very strange place if everybody was listening to the same degree. You'll always find somebody not listening. But the night that I got saved, I wasn't listening to the preacher. I never heard a word he said. And the same experience has happened to me. In fact, it happened to me about almost 50 years later in the very same place in which I got saved. I was preaching the gospel in the hall that I got saved in. And a young nurse, a Roman Catholic, who came with my daughter, who was sitting in the same seat, she didn't know that as I'd been in the night that I got saved. She got saved 50 years later, sitting in the same seat in the same hall. When I was preaching, a little boy of 8 gets saved, and now he's preaching the gospel. And the Roman Catholic nurse, she got saved. And she told me afterwards, she said, "You know, Dave, I never heard a word you said. I was listening to the Spirit of God speaking in my heart." Well, you know, the same thing applied the night that I got saved. I wasn't listening to the preacher. He's now in heaven. He passed away last year. I made sure before he died that he knew and remembered that when he was just a young fellow preaching a simple gospel message almost 50 years ago, a little boy that he wasn't even thinking about, just burdened about his sin, realizing he was a sinner, that his sin was going to keep him out of heaven. His sin was going to send him down to hell. The Lord Jesus Christ was going to come and take every saved person home and leave him behind. And not listening to the preacher, but listening to the voice of the Spirit of God, I just bowed my heart. And I used the words of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, the same gospel, we didn't read it tonight. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are overloaded and worn out." That's what it means. "All ye that labor and are heavy laden," that's what the King James Bible says. Everyone who's worn out and overloaded because of sin. Oh, you say that's for drunkards. That's for drug addicts. That's for people at death's door in a hospice. That's for people dying. No, it is for a little fellow of 8. Burdened about his sin but telling nobody. With a smiling face, not even listening in a gospel meeting, but understanding that God hated a sin, and if my breath stopped, and God had spared me 8 years before, I never forgot that. For almost every week, my granda used to say, "David, you need to get saved, son. God spared you for a purpose." I remember the day I went and told my granda. Oh, he was happy. He said, "Now, you have to find out not even the reason God spared you. You have to find out the reason God saved you." I tell you this, dear soul, you're here tonight because God has preserved you. There are 1,000 reasons in this world why any one of us could have been gone before tonight. And there's really no human reason whatsoever why this particular unique company is sitting here tonight. And why I'm halfway across the world from my home and on the opposite side of the planet from the place that God called me to 20 years ago to preach to Africans in Africa and change my life through sickness and turn my life around through circumstances. And it's not an accident that I'm here for a few nights with Brother Brian to preach the gospel in Kamloops. He shall save his people from their sin. Save us, Lord. We are going to perish. Oh, if I can but grasp by faith tonight the finished work. Oh, dear soul, you too can have salvation through faith in Jesus, just sitting in this gospel meeting tonight.